Can I have a couple people help me with the communion, please? If you're new here, you're going to notice that we don't ever rush through communion. We spend a little time discerning the body of Christ so that we can take it by faith and receive the benefits that God has made available to us through the Holy Communion. And here's something that could encourage somebody. Sometimes in the Word of Faith circles, we get to expect and, you know, get everything, boom, immediately. And sometimes that does happen. But people get discouraged sometimes when their healing doesn't come immediately. But here's what Jesus had to say about the Word of God. Sometimes you get a 100-fold return on His Word. And that's great when you get that. But sometimes you get a 60-fold return, and sometimes you get a 30-fold return. Don't be discouraged if your healing comes a little at a time. It's okay. Praise God for the little bit you got, and keep going, and get some more. Sometimes people will stop when they don't get everything at once. It's okay to get a little at a time, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little's better than none, ain't it? Well, if you keep on getting a little more and a little more and a little more, pretty soon you got it all. Amen? So keep believing God for more. Now, the way we discern the body of Christ is to look at this bread and see Jesus in this sacrifice. This bread is matzo bread, by the way. God gave specific directions on how to make this bread. This bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant as sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body was and is sinless. He never made a mistake. Also, if you look at this bread, it's been pounded flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. Sometimes people have hurts deep inside of them that they can't deal with. And Jesus is the only one that can fix these hurts that are deep inside. So you can ask Jesus to take care of these while you're taking communion, to take care of those deep hurts inside. Also, if you look at this bread, and you'll see there's stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. See, our healing was paid for before our sins were. He got the stripes on His back before He got to the cross to deal with our sins. We believe God for the big thing, our salvation, getting to heaven. We believe Him for that. And sometimes we think our healing is a bigger thing. But God took care of our healing before He took care of the big thing. Amen. Also, if you look at this bread, there's holes in it. His body was pierced. Now, we all know that when He was on the cross, a Roman soldier thrust a spear into His side, and His body was pierced there. But He was pierced in His hands, too. And He was pierced in His feet, and He was pierced in His scalp. From everywhere that Jesus shed His blood, we get redemption in some area. Also, if you look at this bread, it's been slightly burned. This is a biggie. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. See, he took our judgment so that we could take his blessing. And his body was broken. And Father, we're taking this for our healing and our well-being. We thank you for it. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. There's never been anything more powerful than the blood of Jesus. We use the blood of Jesus for our protection. We also, because of the blood of Jesus, can enter boldly into the throne room of grace and find mercy and grace in time of need. That was never made available until Jesus died on the cross. Where he made the new and living way. This blood is so powerful that it did something that mankind could not do for thousands of years. It took our sins and washed them completely away and made us white as wool. It also made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Which means this very day, you are in right standing with God. That everything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And now he looks at you as if you never sinned. Because you are the justified. You have been justified freely by his grace. You are his favorite child. We thank you for this. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to continue on where we left off last Sunday on the pioneering faith. Last Sunday, we found out, you know, there's three different kinds of people. Basically, there's museum keepers that are content with just dusting the memories of the past. You know, they did some great things in the past, and we're going to keep those alive by dusting them off once in a while, and that's what we're going to stand on. It's great that things happened, but there's more to it. You must keep going forward. You know, if you look at church history and really study it, you'll find out that each one of these denominations are here because they had a revelation that they got a hold of and they came forward. Amen? You know something? Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. He was a Catholic priest. And somebody came up and asked him, said, have you ever read the New Testament? And he said, no. Well, don't sound too shocked. It was in the Dark Ages, and they were burning Bibles there as fast as they could find them. But the Catholic Church preserved the Bible. They kept it locked away. Nobody could get it. So Martin Luther found out where one was, and he went over there, and he read New Testament, and he found out that a man must be born again, that righteousness is by faith and justification is by the shed blood of Jesus and shed blood of Jesus alone. So he went and told that to the Pope, and the Pope said, hallelujah! No, they would have killed him, but he was friends with the Black Knight and they couldn't touch him. Well, a lot of them, people stayed in that spot. They became museum keepers. Then somebody found out, said, hey, you know, we got to be water baptized. So they came forward. And then they just stopped right there. But they preserved that revelation. Then somebody else said, you know, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think that's something we need. So they stepped forward. And then some of them just stopped right there. Whether you like to believe it or not, we're going into a new and exciting time. Did you know that the sun comes up and the sun goes down? Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. You know, the church, the body of Christ, is going to go forward, whether you like it or not. Whether you reach for it and get excited about it or not, it is going to happen. You're not going to just stay in the same place. You're going to go forward. You just as well embrace it. Get excited about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But it's the change. It's the change that drives people crazy. You can't see what's around that corner. You can't see what's 2 days down the road. But that's why the Bible tells us that we must walk by faith, not by sight. We must walk by faith, not by knowledge, not by what you think you know, but by faith. That means you don't have to have the answers. Amen? Whether you like to believe it or not, you don't have the answers anyway. You just don't. You're going to walk by faith, and it's going to be okay. Now, a lot of the church has given up on this idea. They have a doom and gloom outlook on life. They say, well, Biden's doing whatever he wants to do. No, he's not. They say, all these things are going to happen. All these bad things. This country is done for. Well, why do you praise the devil? Isn't it just as easy to look and see what God is doing and look and see what God has said and then get excited about the future? He said, with the long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. That's good news. Amen? Well, how's he going to pull? I don't know how he's going to pull off. How did he part the Red Sea? How did he cause quail to come into the wilderness and feed all those people every single day? How did he cause manna to fall from heaven every single day to feed all those people? New manna, new quail every day. They weren't supposed to store it up. It dropped. You know, his grace is new. Every single day he has a new outpouring of grace to pour on you every single day. You are saved by grace. Amen? That's a good thing. Yeah.
We can look forward to the salvation God has promised us. There is no longer any room for doubt.
Yeah.
And we can tell others that salvation is ours, for there is no question that will do what he says.
Amen. Yeah. Look forward to his salvation. And then we found out that there are settlers that are content to stay in their comfort zone. And these are the people that don't want to take a chance. Well, what if these guys are just hustling and they don't really need $200 to feed their family? What if these guys, this guy lived like an idiot. Why would we give him $200? Well, because he's got kids. I'm not saying that about him. He happens to be my friend. I just didn't catch on to who he was talking about when we were praying. And then when I found out who he was, I thought, oh my God. So we're going to get something figured out. Well, this guy doesn't go to our church. You don't ever, ever want to try that with me. What about the pioneers of faith that are constantly pressing into new territories? These are the guys that don't care about taking a chance. They don't care what somebody's going to think about them. They don't care what somebody might, they might look at them kind of funny. These are, you might call them the Jesus freaks. You know, radicalized Christians. We need a few more radicalized Christians in this world. You know, Jesus was the most radical preacher that ever walked the face of this earth. He was walking down the road one day, and there was a funeral procession coming in front of him. And this widow was standing there. Widow, her husband had passed away, and now her son. Then a casket. They're going to bury him. And he went up there, and he raised him from the dead, right there in the middle of the funeral procession, walking down the street. Well, some might say that he just did that because, see, no, he did it to fulfill the word. Because it said that the widows would receive their sons back. He fulfilled the word of God. He fulfilled all righteousness. He did stuff like that. Stop asking yourself, what would Jesus do? Look in the Bible and find out what did Jesus do. Amen. Find out, what did Jesus do? Now, some people will never move out into the unknown. You know, the unknown stops many people from God's greater blessings. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Did you read the Bible? See, this is where the rubber meets the road on the faith walk. I don't know what's going to happen if I do that. Read the Bible. God wins. But what if I look like a fool? Get yourself out of the way. Stop operating in pride and start walking in faith. He wants his people to get so far out there on the edge that it looks like they're going to sink, so that he can get out there and finish the job, and everybody will look at it and say, well, I know that person. That guy's a turkey. There's no way he could have pulled that off. That had to be God. And God gets the glory. Amen. Now look at Hebrews. Let me get over it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8. says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, circle this, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He had no idea where he was going. He had no idea how everything was going to work out. He didn't have any of the answers. Can you hear the little woman say, well, what are we going to do if this happens? Well, what about this? And his friends say, well, what if everything goes wrong? How about having this answer? Say, what if everything goes right? What if everything works out the way God says they'll work out? See, it's a frame of mind. It's an attitude. I read a really neat account of a Jewish man that was in one of those internment camps during World War II. The Nazis had him in a death camp. And somebody asked him, said, how did you stay alive? And he said, you know, they took everything away from me. They took my food, they took my clothes, they took my family, they took my freedom, they took everything away from me, but they could not take my attitude. They could not take my attitude away from me. You know, your attitude toward life is everything. If you have a dismal attitude towards life, you're going to have dismal results. If you have a bright attitude towards life, you're going to have bright results. But it's going to be your attitude. You know, I like to say it this way. How you behave in a cave is going to determine your future. See, David, when he was a boy, he got anointed to be the king of Israel. It was God's word for him to be the king of Israel. It was already written out. His life was designed to be the king of Israel. The old king of Israel was trying to kill him, and David was hopping from cave to cave, hiding from this guy, trying to stay alive. Now, David could have curled up and played possum. He could have gave up. He could have just went into the deepest part of that cave and said, I give up, and started pouting and having a, you know, little pity party. Power pout, you might call it. People do that all the time. Power pout. But what did David do? Well, if you look at the book of Psalms, he did a lot, but he didn't pout. Now, he had an occasion to, and his soul would get down. And what would David do one time? He wrote it down and he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. What was he doing? He was talking to himself. You should do that sometime. You should talk to yourself. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Think about all the good things that God has promised you. Think about all the good things that God has already given you, and praise the Lord. Amen? That's how you keep a good outlook on life. Praise him. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Now here's the key to this new adventure that we're calling 2022. You know, 22, the number 22 is significant. Did you know that? That's a significant number. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew Bible, or in the Hebrew alphabet. 22 letters. The first letter is about an ox. The last letter is about a cross. Now, for several years, we've been on this. It's taken us several years to get to this spot. Remember when I started talking to you about the tetrad of the blood moons that were falling in line with all these Jewish festivals at the same time, and the astronomical odds of that happening? And I told you to get ready because there was some humongous things that were going to happen, not only to Israel, not only to America, but the whole world. And look where we're at now from that time. You can't look at that stuff and not be excited. Now remember, whenever there's something wrong, whenever there's something bad, whenever the devil is throwing a fit, it's because there's something that is already right. There's something that has already been written in stone. It is something that is already going to happen. And in the eyes of God, it has already happened. We are heading in to a very exciting time. Embrace it. Don't worry. I like that old hippie song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Who was that? That was a weird song. Don't Worry, Be Happy. I don't know. Yeah. Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's how God wants you to be. Don't worry, be happy. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God is love and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Amen. It'll be good for you to embrace the love of God. It'll be good for you to focus on how much God loves you. Don't focus on how much you love God. Don't go there. Focus on how much God loves you. The love of God will protect you. That's the best protection you're going to find, the love of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's pretty clear. But Christians get it confused all the time. They're trying to figure it out all the time. Right now, you know, there's Christians that sit at home and they figure out a game plan for their whole entire life. They sit in these indoctrination centers that we call schools, and they learn all this stuff. And these are born again people. And they fall into this deal that says that you got to get your sheepskin, and then you got to go get married, and you got to have 2.5 kids, live in a house with 2-car garage, have 2 cars, and then you pay on this stuff for 40 years, and then you retire and you live happy, joyous, and free. You know how many of those guys I know that are bald now? Oh. Well, don't worry about it. God numbered the hairs on your head, and He knows where each one of them fell off. Yeah. So that means I'm going to be lucky now I rub the hairs of a bald guy. But look, Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, I was working one time in a muddy job. I was driving a truck out in the oil field, hauling water, and I ran into this guy. And I said, what are you doing out here with us? He said, well, I was supposed to retired. And I said, I know, what are you doing? And he said, well, that 401k thing went away. All that money just went away. See, he planned for his life, his way, and it just disappeared, just like a vapor in the wind. And all the while, Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moths and thieves break in, the moths eat it, rust. He was telling us to be like the sparrows. Don't worry about it. I mean, there's some things you can do to make sure you're taking care of business. But honestly, if you're giving yourself heartburn over your retirement, if you're giving yourself heartburn over your bills, if you're giving yourself heartburn over anything, you need to stop. Because he said, don't worry. So how by worrying, will that add one cubit to your stature? See, basically he's telling, worrying isn't going to change anything for you. Isn't going to fix anything. The only thing that's going to happen is it's going to cause ill effects on your body. Here in verse 6, he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, if you believe that, then you're going to be okay with saying, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And I don't care. I don't know how I'm going to do this. It's just going to be it's going to be all right. God got this thing under control. We are really heading into a very, very exciting time. This whole world is changing drastically. You don't see it? A lot of people don't see it because they're watching the mainstream media as their news source. Do you know how many world leaders around the world, have resigned? The numbers are astronomical. These guys are power mongers. These guys don't just quit. They get removed. God owns this world. And he's given it to us. Get ready for some big changes. Look at Joshua chapter 3. You know, Joshua and Caleb, you know, there were 12 spies that got sent into the promised land. And they went in there and they went into this promised land where Abraham had been wandering around. And they went in there and they seen these giants. You know, those giants were there when Abraham was walking around in there. Did you ever think about that? They didn't just appear when Joshua got in leadership. They were there when Abraham was walking around out there. Those giants were there. Those 12 spies came back. And Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says they had a different spirit. They said, we can go in there and we can take this promised land. We can do this. But the other 10 said, no, we've seen ourselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of those giants. They weren't looking at themselves the way God sees them. Caleb and Joshua said, we can do this because God is with us. The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. They're getting ready. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. See, you're not the first person to go into an uncharted territory. These guys here, they were getting ready to go into the promised land. Now the Bible says that at that time of year, that river floods its banks. I had a pastor tell me one time, said crossing that river wasn't nothing because you can just step right over it. Well, the Bible says during that time of year, it floods its banks. You're not stepping over that river. You're not going to just step over that river. They walked over on dry ground. They walked over there. They did it. They didn't have any idea how things were going to go there, other than God said, it's yours. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. God's got your tomorrow in His hands. Amen. Did you know that you didn't have any control over today? Yeah. But it happened. You might have went to bed worrying about it, but when you woke up, the sun was up.
Yeah.
And there it was. It was today. And the monster didn't get you. Now, my wife, I took my wife to Wyoming. And after a couple winters up there, she has absolutely no use for Wyoming winter. That last winter we were there, it was 60 below zero for 3 days and nights. She lost all interest in Wyoming in the wintertime. She had no use for Wyoming winters. But she still didn't freeze to death. See, that's the thing about fear. All fears are rooted in the fear of death. And it's the mystery, it's the people don't understand, you know, of what they're afraid of what they don't know. You realize you didn't know anything about today. You had some ideas, but you really didn't have any idea how today was going to work out. But did you go to bed afraid about how today was going to work out? No. God doesn't want you to live in fear. He wants you to have that spirit of faith. He has given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear. Don't be afraid of the changes that are coming our way. They're coming. They're coming. But here's the thing. If God told us everything, we wouldn't have to walk by faith. And usually, if he told you everything, you'd say, oh, I ain't signing up for that. No, I don't want to play today. You go get one of those faith preachers to do that one. No, he's equipped you. He's equipped you to go into the future with a bright outlook and see the victory that he has designed for you. He's equipped you and given you the power to do this. And he wants you to do this. And it's an exciting new adventure for you. Don't be worried about 2022. You know, 2021 was interesting. You know, when we got to the end of 2020, everybody was saying, oh, thank God, that's over. And I just told them, I said, buddy, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think 2020 was crazy. Wait till you see what 2021 brings. Now you watch how glorious 2022 is. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Does anybody know what's going to happen? No. But it's going to be good. I'm excited. We're going to operate in the spirit of faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll finish here. Some people call this the Faith Hall of Fame. You know, God wrote down these things in the Bible for a reason. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, that was Moses. When Moses left Egypt, he forsook the king. Not only that, he forsook his education and he forsook his livelihood to go out into the desert to be a goat herder. He was well educated and an eloquent speaker. But after spending enough years out in the desert with them goats, his speech wasn't all that good anymore. What happened? He drained himself of what he had to become the man that God needed him to be for an exciting new adventure. Amen? For hundreds of years, the Israel people had been in bondage to Egypt. And now, here's this sheep herder with a stick coming up there and saying to the Pharaoh, free my people. And then all these signs and wonders happened. And that didn't set anybody free. Nobody got set free until the blood of the Lamb was applied to the doorpost and the lintel. Only the blood of Jesus is going to set you free, and only the blood of Jesus will keep you free. Amen? Only the blood of Jesus. Now, let's carry on. It said, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. Now these guys didn't know how everything was going to happen. They didn't have all the answers. They just knew that they had to step out in faith. Now that was in the old covenant. We have a much better covenant. And the Bible also tells us that the least Christian is greater than the mightiest of prophets in the Old Testament. We have a much better covenant. We have the name of Jesus. They didn't have that. We have the blood of Jesus. They didn't have that. We have a new covenant of grace that they didn't have. And we have the written word of God. That's an open book test. You can just look up and find the answer right there. Amen? The devil tries a pop quiz on you, just open the book. You've got the answers. Amen? We'll stop right there. We're going to focus on the spirit of faith. And next Sunday we'll carry on with this. But I'm telling you, you're going into an exciting new future. You just will embrace it by faith and get excited about it and go on with it. But don't fight it. Don't try to stay where you are. Don't try to just stay complacent. Don't try to stay comfortable. Get excited about this and get as much revelation about it as you possibly can and go forward in the spirit of faith and receive everything that God has. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus is doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, his saints. And we thank you for everything that Jesus will do for us when we see him face to face and he completes our redemption. But Father, right now on this earth, we thank you that you're here with us and that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that we can go into the future with excitement and boldness and courage and receive everything that you have freely given to us with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here, and everybody's welcome to come back and have some.